Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Texting is more than just about chatting with your friends about dinner plans. It's big business and big politics. Jed Alpert is the CEO of Mobile Commons, a company that helps run cell phone campaigns that spread news, market products, and yes, political activism. He's got a new book out called The Mobile Marketing Revolution. Jed, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
And full disclosure, we here at WNYC use Mobile Commons too when we do texting projects. Put some numbers to this. I mentioned 200,000 text messages, or there are 200,000 text messages sent a second. How many people own cell phones at this point? How many own smartphones?
Pretty much everyone owns a cell phone. It's got the highest penetration rate of any electronic device that that exists in this country or around the world. In the United States, it's about 95% of the population over 13 has a cell phone. At this point, about a third to a half are smartphones, and that's increasing rapidly. Probably in 2 or 3 years, all of them will be smartphones.
How fast is the growth, and how fast is the list of companies that are trying to use texting to reach their customers? How fast is that growing?
Well, texting is growing and has reached the point where it is unquestionably the number one way that people in the world, and including the United States, have chosen to communicate. There's 6 or 7 billion text messages sent a day in the United States. That probably comes out to the 200,000 a second or something close
somebody
to that.
Somebody did the math.
And it outstrips every other form of communication. At this point, companies are realizing that they probably ought to be communicating with people on the number one way that they've chosen to want to be communicated with. And the adoption rate with companies, brands, organizations is growing very, very rapidly, particularly over the last 2 years.
So maybe we could even use the little text project that we have going today with listeners, as we do from time to time. Today it's asking them to text LIVE to 30644 to take a little survey about living together before marriage, and then we'll talk about the results of this survey on the air in an hour. And this is relatively new to us. So would you argue that this is somehow reflective of what's going on out there? We could just ask people to go to our comments page and post their, you know, experiences about living together.
And you could, and probably some people are going to your comments page and doing that. The difference with mobile is it's complete ubiquity all the time. The point I made earlier, which is it is the way that people have chosen to communicate. And this is reflected in the numbers. The response rates will be much higher, probably just from the 2 or 3 calls to action that you put out. A significant number of people have
texted.
We've
already gotten more than 200. And I can tell you from our standpoint why we're doing it this way. We're going to get more precise data because it's a survey.
You get the data, and you get to work with the data. And your relationship with that particular texter or person interacting with the show doesn't end at the moment that they leave the comment or call in. You can have an ongoing question and relationship with them, asking them follow-up questions, whether it's a day from now, a week from now, 6 months from now. If you're asking people, which I think you are, what zip code they're living in, that can be posted to a map. You could follow up and ask some questions about their rent, all of that kind of thing, which really from a journalistic perspective has the effect of increasing the power of your Rolodex.
Now, from a marketing perspective, and your book is called The Mobile Marketing Revolution, what about spam? People are starting to get spam on their phones now, which was unheard of just a year or two ago. And people don't like this. I got my first email spam the other day, and it kind of shocked me. It's, you know, it feels more invasive than when you get spam in your inbox via email. You can just ignore that. I had to have my phone buzz in my pocket. I had to pick it up. I had to look at the message. If I was being charged per text, I would have been paying for that message. Is this really going to take off?
Well, we certainly hope that the carriers, providers like us, and the FCC and other authorities are able to control spam on phones, and it doesn't become what happened with email. the thing that makes mobile so successful is that it's a trusted, highly permissioned way of communicating. If you get a message, it should be a message that you've requested and asked for, like the experience here where you're texting in to receive communications from WNYC. While there is an increase of spam, and that is a troubling thing, compared to all other forms of electronic communication, it is still much, much smaller. There are reasons why it is easier to control than with mobile that are technical, in that the carriers have an easier time determining where spam is coming from than it would from, say, a computer or email.
My guest on WNYC is Jed Alpert. He's the CEO of Mobile Commons, a company that helps run cell phone campaigns that spread news, market products, and political activism. And I want to talk about the politics in here, too, because I know you a little bit off the air, and I know that you're very into public policy, and you want to see mobile used for good in the public sphere, which is why I think you call your company Mobile Commons. And your group does a lot of work with political campaigns and activist campaigns. So tell us how texts in general are finding a place in political activism.
Well, with respect to activism, and I think the recent example of SOPA is that using mobile became an extremely effective tool for people in this case who are opposed to the enactment of SOPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act, for organizations, whether it's Tumblr or other kinds of organizations like Free Press, to reach people, explain to them why they should be opposed to the Stop Online Piracy Act, and explain to them what they can do, in this case, engage with your mobile phone to generate mass voice calling to Congress on a targeted basis to your congressperson to tell them your opposition to SOPA. Over the course of a few weeks with our partners, and there were other people working on activism as well, but just with our partners, we generated close to 500,000 phone calls to Congress, which is a very, very large volume. And what it was able to do was quickly distill interest in the story around SOPA into actual effective activism.
The use of cell phones cuts across demographic lines like maybe no other technology. If you're talking about race, class, income group, geography, right?
It really reaches everyone. We've often said it's the only technology we know of that simultaneously reaches poor people and richer people at the same time. And that's for various reasons, including among more underserved populations, and this has broad impact on policy and civic engagement related kinds of programs. It's the only tool that can be effectively used to reach people.
We see it in the developing world too.
Yes, absolutely. There's a mobile penetration is growing much, much faster in the developing world. There are often circumstances where it's changed the economics of entire villages to have one, two, or three mobile phones in a whole village in terms of the kind of information they need to bring crops to market or to get health care or things like that. It's had profound transformative effects in those areas.
The people in this country don't realize how many people do not have telephones in much of the world. And cell phones is making it easier to have in developing nations some kind of telephone communication, and it has the text capability in addition to voice.
In much of the developing world, they've completely foregone wirelines for installing much more effective and much less expensive mobile infrastructure.
And how good is the data now on how much people are doing that in this country? Would you say the poorer the American who owns a cell phone, the less likely they are to also have a landline?
I think the data is probably behind reality in two ways. One is that's certainly the case where underserved people will have a mobile phone. The need to have a landline is evaporating, I think, as cell service gets better, as it gets less expensive, has fewer credit requirements and wait periods than landline phones. But I think even while it's reported that something like 30% of people are now mobile only, I think from a practical matter, I can say it's true for myself, I'm effectively mobile only, even though I have a landline. It just never, ever gets used. And if my landline rings, there's no way I'm answering it. It's either a relative who I don't particularly want to talk to or some other kind of bad news.
There was a study in NH recently that showed that people in their 20s change media 27 times an hour. So how much do you think about engagement from offline to online to mobile across different platforms from a marketing perspective?
Well, that's 27 times is incredible, but it's believable. What is true about any marketing technology and any marketing channel is that they all need to work together and they're not separate silos. So if you have a print ad and it has a mobile call to action, it's really activated that print ad in a way that wasn't possible before, in the same way that, you know, we're doing a mobile call to action on a radio show by really integrating those together. What's very interesting about mobile is it's at least three or four of those medium altogether. It's voice, it's text, it's mobile web, it's video, it's all of these kinds of things, and they're constantly working together on that platform.
And in journalism, too, we've got this little project for today going on right now. This is kind of just kind of a little fun one. Your book refers to a previous WNYC texting project where we had people report on whether their street had been plowed during the big blizzard of a year and a half ago, and then we mapped it. And then that actually seemed to contribute to people's understanding of where the city was falling down on the job. So that was really an act of journalism through texting.
It was incredible, and that is very often within our company and in other places all around used as the kind of definitive example of the beginning of using the medium of radio to create an ongoing interaction around something very significant that created a reporting tool for you, but also this social experience where people could actually see what was going on in the city and at the same time reality checking something the mayor said in absolute real time. And I remember when that got set up, you could just watch the map get populated, and it was very surprising to us. That was a threshold moment for understanding how mobile could be used in this kind of way.
I want to touch one other thing. The piece on the New York Times website just today about fears over mobile banking. A lot of people are starting to do it, but there is fear about security and privacy when it comes to communicating financial information through your phone.
Those are legitimate concerns. I think in general, privacy and security issues are very important. People should understand them completely, but they should also put them in the context of, is it all that different than when someone's getting a letter with their banking statements in it, what the security issues are with those? Every form of communication has various security issues associated with it. The most important thing is that people really understand what the particular risks are for that medium.
Again, listeners, if you want to take part in our texting survey for today, this is a texting survey plug wrapped in a texting survey conversation on living together. Text LIVE to 30644, and we'll reply with a few questions you can answer, and then we'll talk about them on the air in about a half hour. Text LIVE to 30644 to answer a few questions about living together, cohabiting before marriage. And Jed Alpert is the CEO of Mobile Commons, a company that helps run cell phone campaigns that spread news, market products, and political activism. His new book is called The Mobile Marketing Revolution. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.